Hey, Orthopreneurs, it's Dr. Glenn Krieger here, and let me tell you, the Orthopreneurs 2024 Summit, which is going to be on a Royal Caribbean ship, has taken off. I don't mean literally, but we actually booked an entire ship just for us. We started selling it already, and believe it or not, it's selling out fast. People want to come by themselves. People want to bring their team. People want to bring their families. Remember, there's a kids club there, and there's also an adult-only pool. So you can watch the presentations streaming throughout the whole ship. Imagine sitting in the pool with a drink in your hand, watching someone speak on tips and tricks to help your practice get better while you're sitting knee-deep in a pool with a drink in your hand. Sounds pretty cool, right? Well, you've come to know the kind of meetings we put together, and this one's going to be even more exceptional and even more affordable. Go to opsummit2024.com to sign up now.
Average practice location gets 600 calls per month. That means 155 calls get missed, and that's 1,800 calls missed per year. Every single call, if we average it out, is worth about $300. So it's like literally $500,000 for the average practice in production missed per year by not answering the phone. So it is like a massive, massive opportunity.
This is the Orthopreneur Show with Glenn Krieger, talking about the things you never learned in school, like marketing, management, and leadership.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Orthopreneurs Podcast. Today, we've got our two-time returning champion, Scott Hansen. I kid when I say that, but Scott's been on before. And if you've been in orthodontics for more than a week, you should know who this guy is. You may not, but you will by the end of this podcast, and you'll be better because of it. So welcome, Scott.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. And before we get started, I have a huge thank you for how you've affected my life personally. So you obviously not only produce incredible content, but our practice and the rest of my business career has been impacted by the learning I've done from you and Orthopreneurs and the meetings. And my parents have a little bit to thank you for. I'm sure they're sitting at their beautiful lake house right now. She's retired, but I've benefited tremendously from the work you've done. And I am sure that you will never be paid for all the value you've created in the industry. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. And being kind to the host never hurts. I'm telling you, it leads to easier questions, I promise. No, but seriously, thank you, Scott. I think it's a mutual admiration society here. We'll talk a little bit about your story and how we got to meet after you sort of do the intro. But it really means the world to me. You're a content creator in many ways, as I am, in different ways. And I think when I have conversations with people out there who are content creators, the Kyle Fagalas, the Christopher Settas, right? And there's many names I'm forgetting right off the top of my head just because. But when we talk about content creation, it really is like walking past a room, a door. You open up the door, it's pitch black, and you throw 5 pages of information into the room and close the door behind you. And you don't know if it sits and hits the floor on a pile that's never been read before, or people are fighting to grab it before it hits the ground and read it. And at the end of the day, you do this because you love doing it and you don't really know what the response is. And you genuinely mostly don't care. And I know that's something you and I have in common is while you've started products, and we're going to talk about that, while you have another new product right now, that's amazing. At the end of the day, for you, it's not about selling the product. It's about making practices better, period. And that's why I respect you so much. So let's start with your story. How did Scott Hansen end up where he is right now?
I have been so fortunate that I've lucked my way into thing after thing.
Hard work leads to luck, my friend.
Well, there is certainly an element to that. But I finished my undergrad, and my plan was to go and work with my mom, go to dental school. My mom's an orthodontist, and do ortho residency and come back in the Kansas City area and work with her. And I ended up meeting my now wife of 11 years, and she was a year behind me in undergrad. So I deferred dental school for a year and went back and worked with my mom. And after like 2 months, I realized this is not what I want to do. I have tremendous respect for clinicians, but it just didn't suit my fancy. And so I had no idea what I was going to do, frankly. Like, I've always loved marketing and sales. And just after hanging around the practice for a few months, it was clear that the sales and marketing, the operations, like it was not very robust in the practice. The practice has been flat for 10 years. And I had always imagined kind of revitalizing the practice or helping it grow when I got done with ortho school. But I put together an agreement with my mom, and I was like, hey, you don't have to pay me very much, but if the practice grows, I want to get paid more. And it was a very simple agreement. And I just started, like, I just rolled up my sleeves and started learning stuff. And we did a lot of different things, but the long story short is we ended up growing the practice really fast, and we sold it to Smile Doctors a few years later. And right around that same time, we were always looking for innovative ways that we could get in front of our target patients better or faster, or just kind of innovating the way we market to patients and capture leads. And I noticed that there were a few businesses that I benchmarked in our local area that I thought were excellent businesses. And one of them was a LASIK surgery, or like a LASIK provider, and very similar sales process to orthodontics. And they just crushed. And I noticed that they launched online chat on their site. And I was like, this makes total sense. We have people who, like, no one gets on an orthodontist website for fun. If we can just allow them to ask us questions with no gate, then we should be able to drive more leads. And So I hired a guy internally to do it for us. And he crushed it, but he sat around most of the day doing nothing. And so I ended up calling a few other doctors, and I was like, hey, he's going to answer all the same questions for us. If you want to pay me, I'll just manage this process for you. And we ended up bootstrapping that business to serve 1,300 orthodontic practices and a few thousand businesses and other verticals. And then I sold it in 2018.
And you're allowed to talk about it? Can I say the name? OrthoChats?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for anybody out there who that's where I met you. I remember seeing my face on your testimonials banner at one point. You sold that 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
5 years ago.
Time goes by quickly.
It sure does.
It really truly feels like yesterday. But, you know, for those out there who don't realize it, he was like 17 years old when he sold OrthoChats.
Not quite. I was 30.
You were 30, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. This is somebody everybody out there should be listening to. He is a moral, honest entrepreneur, dyed-in-the-wool entrepreneur, who at age 30 sold his first company working with orthodontist folks. And I don't know if you know this. I'm going to say this out loud. You ain't easy to work with. I'm saying that now. He can't say it, but I will. Orthodontists are not the easiest community on the planet because they're really, really successful people who worked really hard in school who are really smart. And most often, not always, believe they can get there by themselves. What got me here will get me there. And you proved that you changed the way people chat on websites. You fundamentally changed that space. And it's truly amazing what you did. We were customers of yours. We loved working with the service. And I can't think of anybody else who did it nearly as well as you guys did. So I'm just excited about what you've got going on now, because you sold OrthoChat. I can't believe it's 6 years since you sold it. You did consulting, right? Black Bison.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, folks, he is brilliant when it comes to understanding how practices run, because he ran a practice. And he knows how we think, and he understands the needs that we have. And when I started Remote Response, the dashboard monitoring program to help doctors alleviate that burden, you were like the first person on my Rolodex I called to get advice, if you remember, because I value your insight and your history, basically.
Thank you.
It's 100% true. And so let's talk a little bit about where you are now, right? Because you've been working on something. You've been in the garage tinkering for a little bit. And in full disclosure, I am an investor. I'm not a majority stakeholder or anything like that, but I do have a financial interest in your new company. And I always like to disclose that. Do you want to talk a little bit about what it is and how it works?
So what I'm doing now is called Lead Sigma. The reason why Lead Sigma exists was really a combination of two things. The first was we had built an automation engine in a sense in our practice. We had strung together a bunch of different tools, and I'd done the same reading that everyone else has about how important being fast to respond to leads, like using all the channels, doing it over the long term, all of those things. And so we'd basically built a rickety system in our practice that worked really well, but it required a lot of me doing stuff, me fixing it when it broke, and it was difficult to teach other practices. Well, we built this system. It was one of the things that propelled us forward and helped us grow. And then I had the experience immediately after that of working with, you know, thousands of other high value service businesses, orthodontists included. And it became very clear that we would generate a lead via OrthoChats, ship it to our client, and the client did not have what we had at our practice to immediately engage the lead, like get them booked right away, like all the things that after the lead gets generated must be done in order to make the marketing efficient. And in the very early days of OrthoChats, I was still doing everything. So 4 months in, we had about 40 clients, and two clients called me in the same week to quit the service. And that was terrifying to me because we're 4 months in and 5% of our customer base wants to quit. And so I had the benefit of being able to read the transcripts of the conversations. And so you can pretty well tell when you're reading a transcript, is this a tire kicker, someone who's never going to show up to their exam, or is this someone who's legitimately interested? And the majority of the people were legitimately interested. And so for all of those people, I suppose I should have asked permission, but I didn't. I just started calling those patients on my iPhone. And I said, hey, this is Scott calling from OrthoChats. We manage the chat for Dr. Krieger or whoever. This is just a courtesy call to make sure you got an appointment scheduled and everything taken care of. And one after another picked up the phone, answered my call, and said, no, we never got a hold of anybody. No one ever called us. And so I said, well, do you have a moment to set up the appointment now? And they're like, sure. So I dialed the office phone number on my phone, and I merged the calls, and I introduced that person to the practice. And I just sat there while they scheduled appointments. And I did this for hours for these two customers. And that day I wrote a note.
But you got lucky. I just want to be clear on that one. You got lucky. You know, you worked your tail off, okay?
Well, it was like a light bulb moment. It was like, I mean, I probably helped generate $100,000 worth of production by making 50 phone calls. And I was like, okay, I wrote a note on my phone, as most entrepreneurs do. I'm like, this problem needs to be solved. Like, practices need an easy way to be able to manage the same way we manage it in our practice. Like, they need an easy way to be able to do it themselves.
Right.
Which is kind of post professional chats, ortho chats, that same idea just kept nagging at me. Especially as a consumer, like I request an estimate to a landscaping company and it's like 3 days later when they respond, it's just like unbelievable. And so it's like,
you know, oddly enough, I would just interrupt for a second. I have a very good friend who I ran with in one of these entrepreneurial mastermind groups, and he ran a home services coaching company, kind of like what I do with orthopreneurs, but he did it for home services. I'm an orthodontist. I run orthopreneurs. He was, I think, power washing company, you know, multiple trucks, multiple things, not like a single guy.
Yeah.
And he ran a similar thing for his guys and gals. And I got to say, the home services industry, your example of, you know, 3 days for an AC is very unusual in their industry. Mm-hmm. Because in the home services industry, like, you call somebody, you leave a message, literally within 1 minute, you're getting a text, an email, a call, another email. How is our provider today? The second they leave. Like, I feel like the home services industry has really dialed it in a way that ortho could really learn a lot from. Or am I crazy?
You would not be surprised that we had another brand. So in OrthoChats, in orthodontics, we called it OrthoChats. In residential services, we called it Home Service Chats. And that business in Home Service Chats was 3 or 4 times larger than our business in orthodontics.
A much bigger pond. Much bigger pond.
Much bigger pond. And like the guys who do it well are just, they really do it well. And so when they see a product that makes sense, they're just on it.
You know, you gave me an idea. I feel like, and you could probably help me with this, and my buddy probably could, how great would it be to get a home services person, right, to speak at Orthopreneur Summit about, like, think about that. And most people listening have no idea what we're talking about, but imagine that classic home services person who started because he was a technician for a company and said, you know, like the classic E-Myth by Michael Gerber, I can do this better. But he actually did it better. And then now he has 14 trucks and 75 employees. And, you know, it's been 5 years and he runs it out of his house. But now he takes 12 weeks off a year to go fishing in Cabo. And like, maybe I find one of those people to get up on stage and talk at Summit about the systems, because we're going to get there with you about operations and how operations drives everything.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think on the surface, it's like, oh, a plumber and an orthodontist. Like, that doesn't seem to make very much sense. But the reason why the chat business worked so well in both verticals is that the sales process and the customers are actually very similar. And so when someone goes to, when they're seeking orthodontic treatment, they have no idea whether you are a good clinician or not. And when they are looking for a plumber, they have no idea, the plumber that shows up to their house, if they're going to do a rinky-dink job or if they're going to do a great job. It is almost entirely a trust-based sale. Yep. And so when it's a trust-based sale, all of those things matter. How we communicate with the customers, our responsiveness, like all of those things. And so the parallels, I didn't realize when I got it started. We started in ortho, but the parallels to home services are incredible. Even like the ticket of the sales, like the, you know, the transaction value is similar. So just wild. Yeah. The parallels are wild.
Yeah. It's just, so now the purpose of Lead Sigma, if you want to just sort of dive into that a little bit, exactly how does Lead Sigma work?
To understand Lead Sigma or even care about it in the first place, maybe sharing a little bit of my perspective on practice growth. So when I started really learning about our practice, again, I love marketing and sales. I just broke our practice growth down into basically 5 steps. And each of those steps have some sub-steps, but basically we have to generate new patient interest. We have to schedule exams or consults. We have to get those people to show up. We have to get contracts signed. And for the people that don't sign contracts, we have to manage our recall, pending, and OBS really well. Those 5 things are the things that tripled our practice in 3 years.
Wow.
And
can you say that one more time? Repeat those 3 things. I want everybody to hear this very clearly.
So generate new patient interest, drive leads. Easy to understand. We think about that all the time if you like marketing. Schedule exams. So taking people who are interested and turning them into an appointment in the PMS or the practice management system. Get them to show up. Get a contract signed or case acceptance. And if they don't sign a contract, recall, pending, and OBS management. Like, those are the things that I spent almost my entire time focused on. When we think about generating new patient interest, we might go to what we traditionally think of as marketing. So like paid ads, maybe organic digital marketing, like a website, SEO, like getting people to click when they search. Other traditional marketing things like signage at local schools, review generation, professional referrals, current patient referrals, like creating a good vibe in the office that people love and want to refer into. What's interesting, though, is as we build that list of things that we think of as marketing, at the top of the list are things that we traditionally pay other people for. So like most people pay someone else to build them a website, do their SEO, run paid ads. But as we go down the list and we start thinking about traditional marketing, well, someone else can make the copy for you. They can, you know, design the banner for you, but you have to be the one building the relationships in order to have the opportunity to market at a school, for instance. Review generation is much more effective if your team is really good at it. That takes training and operations. Professional referrals, like, great, we can have the ideas. Like, the ideas are a dime a dozen for how to engage with general dentists, but the execution is the hard part, and actually following through and making those things happen. And the list goes on, but what I realized very quickly was the way that I saw other people talking about marketing in orthodontics was not the full picture. It was much more heavily weighted toward what we did with the leads, or what we did, our team did in terms of marketing that generated that new patient interest. The heavier weight on operations was like one thing I learned like really quickly was if we wanted to grow and we didn't want to just blow out our marketing budget, we had to be really efficient with the opportunities that we were generating. And that comes to scheduling exams. It's like, okay, if we want to schedule as many exams from the interest that we're generating, what do we need to do? Well, we know that we need to be fast. We know that we need like all the stuff I mentioned before. And that's primarily what Lead Sigma handles. The other thing that we realized, this was really, I always, I guess, intuitively understood this managing the practice was we're like, we answer every call. Like we answer every single call. Because when I did the math, it's like, okay, about 7.5% of our calls are new patients. And if that's the case, every single one of these calls is worth $300. And so it's like, we're never missing a call. And when we started getting connected to our clients' phones with Lead Sigma, we realized that was a much bigger problem than I thought existed.
Because you thought someone's spending enough money to get a lead, they're going to answer the call. Hello there, orthopreneurs. Sign up for the Orthopreneurs 24 Summit now. We took over an entire ship just for us. And here's the thing. It's selling out so fast right now that the room types are selling out. So if there's a particular type of cabin you want, you better get on to opsummit2024.com right now and sign up. And why are people signing up? Because of three reasons. Number one, it's a boat, which means you can bring your team, your family. Yes, there's a kids club. And yes, there's an adults only pool. Number two, the lineup I have is going to be spectacular. These are not people you're going to see on any other stage anywhere. I dug deep to find the best to help you live your best, most profitable, most productive, personal, and practice lives. And they're going to blow you away. And number three, the type of cabin you want is limited. This is not a hotel where most of the rooms are the same. If you want one with a balcony, they're selling out. You want an inside room to save money, they're selling out. So go to opsummit2024.com right now, sign up for a cruise September 18th to 22nd, and you will have the best CE time of your life. And now, back to the podcast.
It's pretty wild. And like everyone knows, if someone calls you, that's a much better lead, or they're a lot more likely to convert into a start than right. Someone who fills out a Facebook form.
Orthodontists tend to think that they're so good at the things that they're doing in their office that they may not be good at. Meaning, let's assume that everybody thinks they're a good clinical outcome provider. And most are. The overwhelming majority of orthodontists provide great clinical outcomes. They take that thought and translate it to, well, I've worked a lot with my front desk to answer calls. So they're answering 98% of the calls that come through. We track that statistic and they answer it within second ring. And then they go look at the real data and find out, no, they're answering 75% of their calls or 83% of their calls. And they're answering them, you know, after three rings or whatever the story may be. But you see this throughout orthodontics over. And if you're a data hound, which I know you are, and I am, you know, we look at the data and we see things and you see the daylight between the cracks where people think they're solid. And I would encourage everybody, if there's nothing else you take away from this entire conversation, somehow, some way, find out the data on your phone calls being answered, right? If you don't have that ability, you need to find a service that does provide that ability. And can I just add to that one? You can weigh in on this one because you had OrthoChats. I created a scorecard for my call center lead, who used to run our call center when we had one, to audit, you know, random calls for new patients, to score them on 10 different criteria, and then to allow the person who answered the call to score it so they could calibrate together. Just as a quick aside, how does somebody who thinks that they're answering a lot of phone calls really find out the real data?
So in almost all phone systems, there's reporting that will give that to you. And I would guess that the very small minority of people listening would not have that data available. Like, it's just a matter of clicking through to your phone provider and asking for the report of how many missed or abandoned calls you have. I feel like I've been saying this for several years, but maybe if I gave some data, it might help spur more people into action. Let's say the average practice gets 600 phone calls a month. We know that the missed call rate is somewhere around 25 to 30% on average.
Really, that high?
Yeah, that high. Like, amongst our customers, when we got connected to the phones, we weren't managing it for them at the time, but amongst our customers, just when we got connected to the phones, the missed call rate was about 26%. And I think that
I said 75% answered before. It's just sort of like I was picking that number out of my, you know, rear end, just assuming that, you know, 3 out of 4 is probably being answered by most practices.
Yep. And I would say that our customers are are most definitely like more aggressive than the average practice. So it's worse than the average practice. So but let's say an average practice location gets 600 calls per month. That means 155 calls get missed using our averages. And that's 1,800 calls missed per year. And like I mentioned, a new patient or every single call, if we average it out, is worth about $300. So it's like literally $500,000 for the average practice in production missed per year by not answering the phone. So it is like a massive, massive opportunity.
It is. And for those out there who are listening right now, say, it's not my practice. My practice isn't 75%. Remember the famous study. It was a survey where they asked drivers, are you worse than average? Are you average? Are you above average as a driver? 80% of respondents said they were above average. You can't have 80% of people be above average. And here's the real quick kicker in that same survey. What percentage of people, if you don't know the survey, said that they were worse than average, actually admitted, I'm a worse driver than average. 80% said they were above average. 1% said I'm worse than average. So let that be everything everybody out there needs to know about where you fall. If you think you're above average, I would tell you that's a blind spot of yours unless you can prove that's true. Go get the data, go find out, and you may well be above average in how you answer things. But with Lead Sigma, what percentage of calls are being answered?
Well, with our new product, 100% of calls are answered, but I'd like to add to what you said before about going and checking the data. It doesn't matter what size of practice you are. It doesn't matter how successful you are answering the phone. Like, when I talk to people that I really respect with practice growth, like Ben Fishbein, for instance, answers 97, 98% of his calls. But he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that if he increases his answer rate to like 1%, that it will create meaningful practice growth for him. And so really going and getting the data is just uncovering what the opportunity, like the size of the opportunity, because no one's perfect. So it's just a matter of refining it so that you can take advantage of all the work that you've done so far in treating the patients that actually want to come see you.
Yeah, there's some great points there. And, you know, if you listen to a lot of the entrepreneurs who are not orthodontists, who are online marketers or selling something, and let's not be fooled here, people. You're selling online. Whether you like it or not, you're selling online. You might not be selling an app or software, right? But you're selling online on Facebook ads, on SEO, on Google AdWords. You're selling online. He who spends the most wins. That's the rule of thumb. He who spends the most, if I'm willing to spend $100 to advertise my product and you're only willing to spend $75, I win. Simple. It's a comparison. So I want people out there to think, number one, they hear all these marketers, and I use that word with air quotes, talk about how to grow your business. And all they talk about, many of them, is advertise this way, buy these AdWords, do this SEO. And like you said, there's not a lot of discussion on the follow-up, right? Because if you follow the old saying, spend the most to win, and you do that, and you're spending $300 per lead, which, by the way, I would spend that all day long. If $300 gets me a potential $6,000 case, I will give you a nickel to get a potential quarter because I only need to convert 1 out of 5 quarters to break even, right? And so hopefully you're spending a lot on marketing, right? Even if you're a great homegrown organic practice, hopefully you're spending a lot on marketing. And number two, think about how much you're spending on marketing to get that phone to ring. And when it rings, you miss it 1 out of every 3 or 4 times. Add that number up over the course of a year, right? And it's absolutely staggering. If we just play this mathematical game just for a moment, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Scott. If somebody is seeing 100 new patients a month, and that's a big practice, 100 new patients a month, right? But let's just say you get 100 new patients a month, and you've got a 75% case acceptance rate, which would be a little lower than I'd like to see. But let's just say it's an average practice with maybe a 75% case acceptance rate. They're converting 75 cases. If they're missing one out of every four phone calls that's coming through potentially for a new patient, right? And you add that number in at a 75% case acceptance rate, you're potentially talking about an additional 15 or so, give or take, right? Depending on how you want to do your math, let's call it 15 more starts per month that you're losing at $5,000 a piece. That's $75,000 a month times 12 months is $900,000 a year. These are staggering numbers, staggering numbers. So people, yes, I have a financial interest in Lead Sigma. It behooves you to consider talking to these people and learning about their product for no other reason than what Scott wants, which is for your practice to be its very, very best, right? And I know it's hard for you to sort of answer in on this one, but was my math way off base? Is there anything you would take exception to there?
No, I mean, the math's the math. And I think the takeaway is it's a massive opportunity, and it has been for a long time, and it hasn't been solved. I think it's also important to think about, like, when we were growing our practice, we obsessed over those five steps, and inside of each of those steps. So like scheduling an exam, answering the phone call is one piece of that. There are two other pieces now that in the majority of practices, you either have someone filling out a form and requesting an appointment, right, or they're doing online scheduling. Well, if they're filling out a form, then all of those things apply that we talked about, that plumbers do well, getting back to them lightning fast, using all the channels, doing it over the long term. That's what Lead Sigma does. With online scheduling, like, then we move to the next step. It's like getting people to show up. Well, we can generate a lot of leads and we can schedule a lot of appointments, but if they don't show up, it doesn't matter. And so what processes do we have baked in for every single patient to increase the show rate? So all of those things play together. The majority of them are operations.
Yeah. And operations, let's be clear, they're not sexy. Mm-hmm. They require a ton of work. Most orthodontists don't know operations very well. It's not their happy spot. They want to go into clinic and they want to do ortho. They don't want to be writing a policy and system. They don't want to be training. They don't want to be reviewing training. And as I talk about on stage a lot, they don't want to be in the practice zone. They want to be in the performance zone. So sitting down behind the scenes and quietly working through your operations where mistakes are encouraged, right, rather than minimized, most orthodontists don't want to be there. And so you have two choices if you're out there with any system in your practice when possible. One is to do it yourself. The second is to outsource it, right? And if you do it yourself, be prepared to write the system, train the system, practice the system, refine the system, and be dependent on an individual who could leave your practice tomorrow, right? If you outsource it, which I'm a huge fan of, you have the opportunity to not have to deal with writing a system, not have to train a system, not have to manage a system, and not to be dependent on an individual. And it leads me to the question, taking individuals out of the picture, are there any places where, say, AI can help us in this process? Because you know I'm a big advocate.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So Mark Andreessen is one of the general partners of Andreessen Horowitz. He wrote an article in 2011, I believe. And I think the title of the article is Software is Eating the World.
Eating.
And he gave a ton of examples, Blockbuster to Netflix, Borders to Amazon, traditional music to Apple Music and Spotify, traditional entertainment to video games, Disney acquiring Pixar, which is a software company to stay relevant in animation. Like, there's tons of examples he gives in this article. And we're at a really unique spot in history in terms of technology, in that we are in inning one of AI eating software.
Sure.
And this is something that nerdy people with a bunch of software engineers care a lot about, probably most people listening don't care about, but there is actually AI built today that abstracts or makes ultra efficient a software engineer. There are AI softwares today that will build an entire website with a prompt. We're just at the very beginning stages of how AI will affect business workflows. But I know, like, just speaking with you over the last few months, like, you use this stuff all the time, and so do I. And it's going to become commonplace, and it's going to be baked into the products that we use. It's going to be baked into the treatments we provide people. Specifically, what gets me going is how we use AI for patient communication. Because our tool, you know, we have this automation engine that sends automated messaging to prospective patients and helps get them booked. And now we're building this, we'll roll it out next month, digital new patient concierge, that when a new patient calls the practice, the generative AI will actually have a wonderfully pleasant conversation with the new patient and book them an appointment. And that's going to be extended to all the workflows. You can imagine AI combing through your practice management database, identifying specific opportunities and communicating with those patients specifically to generate production. And we're just scraping the surface of that right now, but it's going to be a radically different world 2 years from now. And we're at this really cool point where, you know, the innovators and early adopters, there's going to be a massive advantage because it's not on everyone's radar.
It is. So not.
We're really, really excited about the future.
It's amazing. And what you're talking about, let's be honest, is not that complicated. This is not, we're not talking about like, oh my God, this is crazy stuff. I gave a presentation at Summit last year at Orthopreneur Summit on the stage in September. And you know, I'm a huge fan of AI. I'm a huge fan of any innovation that can make our lives better. I think the title, I'm speaking at AAO on AI. And I think my last talk, how to get 6 weeks of your life back. Because my concept was, if you could use AI every day to save you an hour a day, 3 days a week, just 3 days a week, that's 150 hours that you've earned back over the course of a year. And if you put that into a 40-hour work week, which most orthos aren't working 40 hours, but if you did, that's almost 4 full weeks of free time that you've developed that you can do anything with. And I use AI every single day. Mm-hmm. And at that presentation, and I'll probably do more of this at AAO, I showed a PowerPoint of me speaking. I showed a presentation being given, a PowerPoint, with me narrating the PowerPoint, you know, visually with a on screen, with my voice and my likeness and what have you. But I didn't write the PowerPoint. I didn't write the script. I wasn't speaking the words. It wasn't me in the PowerPoint. It was an AI avatar of me speaking words developed by an online AI generative program that developed the script from ChatGPT building the script, which it built from an AI-developed PowerPoint. Like, everything you saw on screen was not me. And I walked off stage and feigned, you know, there's a problem with the AI, with the technology. I need to do this off stage. So we set up a camera backstage as a backup. And it was clearly like day one of year one of millennia one of AI. Mm-hmm. Like, to think of what we're going to have in 2 years, 3 years?
In 2 months. Like, the pace of innovation is unbelievable.
Because we can use AI to build AI. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that is incredibly scary at the same time.
It is scary.
Because that's where the experts say, if it ever gets smarter than us, we won't be able to turn it off. I don't go to sleep ever worrying about AI, right? There's bigger brains out there than me, and I'm not developing a whole lot of anything that's going to take down the world.
Right.
But here's the crazy part about it. As we wrap things up here, they say that if you ever read Life After Google, which is a really tough book to read, the first 70 pages are like prose on mathematics and logic related to AI and Google. But they say in the book that when the time comes, if it ever comes, where Skynet achieves consciousness, right? Where AI takes over. It doesn't happen over hours or weeks or months or days. It happens in milliseconds. Like 1 second, everything is perfect. The next millisecond, it's over. It owns us. It's like a really good Brazilian jiu-jitsu move. Like you think you're on top and a second later you're getting choked out. And so I'm glad at least we got to do this podcast before AI took over.
Yeah.
Although you could be AI. I don't know, Scott.
I think the reason why I rest well at night is we're not talking about taking over the world. It's more like, how do you take payments over the phone right. for an orthodontic practice? But
it's true. And I've heard it, by the way, people. I've heard a demo of what Scott's talking about from his company. And I want to be clear, this is not a robot talking like this to people. It is a genuine AI conversation back and forth with a patient where you personally out there listening would be fooled at the level of customer care being given by this AI voice. It is spectacular. And like you said, it's only going to get better, which is incredible.
Thank you.
And so I just want to say thank you for being here today, Scott. If anybody wants to learn more about Lead Sigma, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so you can jump on leadsigma.com and you can schedule a meeting there. Alternatively, my email, my direct email is really easy. It's scott@leadsigma. And yeah, I mean, obviously, we'd love to chat with anybody. And I also just love to chat generally about practice growth. Like, we don't even have to talk about Lead Sigma.
I know, you're that kind of guy. You're that kind of guy. Thank you for everything you do, Scott. Looking forward to seeing you maybe at Summit, see you wherever I run into you at AAO.
You'll see me at Summit. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I'll see you at AAO for sure. And everybody reach out to this guy because like he said, those who get into this stuff early have a significant advantage over those who get into it late. And I think those are some of the most important words I heard in the last 40 minutes or so. So wishing you the best, Scott, and look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it.